Well, welcome once again, dear ones, to a Friday night Sabbath beginning evening and a worship of our God in spirit and in truth. I'm glad to have you joining with us tonight. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And what a joy to make it to another Sabbath through another week. Definitely a time to be joyful and happy as we come apart to worship our Godhead and to praise their names. Our opening song is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
All the earth works with joy, surround the earth and heaven. Reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, singing bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in Thee.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever-blessing, ever-blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou, our Father, Christ, our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Mortals join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father's love is reigning o'er us, brotherly love binds man to man. Ever singing march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumphant song of life. Victory in Christ Jesus, what a blessed hope. What a blessed realization on a moment-by-moment daily basis. The beginning of everlasting life. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us tonight?
Bow your heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful and grateful to be through another week safely and to be able to fellowship one with another and share our joys as well as our sorrows. And we thank you so much that you're here in the midst of us and you know exactly how we feel and you're here to give us a helping hand and put some sunshine in our heart. Thank you, dear Lord, for answering prayers, for bringing Sister Anne through very delicate surgery and surprised the surgeon, who's an expert in the heart surgery, with how well she did. And to you we give the praise, who is the same yesterday, today, and we know we can count on you to still be there loving us tomorrow. Send your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to be with Elder Bob as he breaks the bread of life, and also to be with us so we can understand clearly every word that he says. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dearest sister. And what a joyous news that Sister Anna made it through the surgery and is recovering quite nicely, beyond expectations. We know indeed God answers prayers. We're in chapter 45 of Patriarchs and Prophets, our study book. The chapter's titled The Fall of Jericho. And you can find our study book and our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. Amen. God is good always. Indeed. And we're about two-thirds of the way down on page 494 to the paragraph that starts out, God's command had been disregarded. And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended last Friday evening was that God had promised to give the children of Israel Jericho, and that it wasn't going to be through their expertise or ingenuity in conquering Jericho, but God would do it for them, and they were to implicitly follow his commands. And so they did. Jericho came down, and the children of Israel went in and basically took care of the rest of the conquering. And God had specifically said that all of the material found within Jericho was his. And as we continue here, we'll discover that one individual among the children of Israel, among the army, did not implicitly follow that command of God. So then when the children of Israel came to the next city, a very small one, they figured that it'd be really easy to take. And since they were sort of on cloud nine from their victory of Jericho, they didn't even stop to consider that God needed to direct them and instruct them in how to go about conquering this small city. They just moved forward in a rush. And they were defeated. And 36 people lost their lives. 36 army men lost their lives. And so they came back and they were downcast and couldn't figure out what was going on. And Joshua and the elders were on their knees praying. And Joshua was a bit discouraged. And then God said, "What are you doing with your face to the ground? There's sin in the camp, and I can't be with you anymore until you take care of the matter." So it's not time for prayer, it's time for action. And that's where we left off. And now we start at this next paragraph. God's command had been disregarded by one of those appointed to execute his judgments, and the nation was held accountable for the guilt of the transgressor. Now that's quite interesting here. One among them in the army had stolen of the material from Jericho. He committed sin on an individual basis, but here we see that because he was part of the group, part of the camp of the Israelites, then God held all the nation accountable for the sin of this one man. What do we call that? Amen. Corporate responsibility. So for the sin of one man, the whole nation was held accountable. God's commands were to the entire nation. Everyone knew what God's commands were. So for one individual to disregard that openly known commandment meant that all the nation was held accountable. Now, as we continue here, you'll find out some other points that are quite amazing. So the nation was held accountable for the guilt of the transgressor, continuing. They have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also. So the sin was stealing something that God said was accursed, that was to be devoted to him and not to any of the children of Israel. And in stealing it, he also dissembled. In other words, he tried to disperse it without anyone recognizing what had taken place, trying to keep it hidden, trying to hide it from sight until a future time when he could bring it forth and utilize it. Question, he lied about it. The Bible doesn't state that he lied to anyone personally about this, but you got to figure his family had to know it. Another comment, it says, to conceal one's motive. To conceal or disguise one's true feelings or beliefs means to dissemble. All right, thank you. So this individual, who we'll find out was Achan not only stole, but he tried to conceal and disguise it. He tried to make it appear as if he had not stolen it. So that was an additional sin of dissembling, of trying to pull a fast one over everyone. So, you know, perhaps the family members saw him and didn't think anything of it, or he made it appear that, you know, he had bought it from someone else or whatever. The Bible really doesn't say, but as we continue, you know that the family members had to be aware of something. But anyway, the nation was held accountable for what Achan had done. Continuing, instruction was given to Joshua for the discovery and punishment of the criminal. The lot was to be employed for the detection of the guilty. The sinner was not directly pointed out, the matter being left in doubt for a time, that the people might feel their responsibility for the sins existing among them and thus be led to searching of heart and humiliation before God. So God didn't tell Joshua exactly who had stolen and dissembled. All God told him was there's sin in the camp and you need to do something about it, and here's how you go about discovering who this individual is. So because no one knew who it was, but they did know that one person among them was guilty, that led each individual to search their own heart to see if they were the guilty one. Now notice it didn't say that everybody started looking at everyone else believing that they might be that guilty person. It said it led them to searching of heart and to humble themselves before God. And that has a deep lesson for each one of us. When we recognize that the blessings of God are not attending our group, for whatever reason, we recognize that God's blessing is lacking. That should lead us to searching our own hearts to see if we're the reason why the blessing is lacking. And if we start looking at others, looking for someone to point the finger at, that's not what God desires. That's what the devil desires. We can't read motive. We can recognize open sin, but sin that's not out in the open, we can't guess who's responsible. We must examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. So this corporate responsibility leads to individual searching of heart and humbling of oneself before God. It doesn't lead to a witch hunt. But the devil would sure like a witch hunt to take place. Question in the room, Elder Rob, do you feel that God's blessing is lacking? Lacking in the home church here? I don't feel that God's blessing is lacking. I would like to see quite a bit more of our church members attending the services, but I don't view that as lacking of God's blessing. I think they miss out on that, but I don't see that the home church itself misses out.
Wherever two or three are gathered in God's name, He's in the middle of us. And when we fellowship one with another and each can bring something to the table, so to speak, it is an encouragement to everyone. And it also promotes love, which is what God's kingdom is made of, love. And love brings the greatest blessing.
Amen, Sister Joan. Amen. Once again, where two or three are gathered. Not only that, you know, this is why God gives man free will. You know, they have a choice. You know, it would be just like a husband and a wife. You would want your spouse to love you unconditionally, not because they have to. So if somebody doesn't come to a home church or they don't come to their church, you know, they have that option. But on the same hand, they also have the option to love God unconditionally. And that's not up to us to decide whether they're doing that or not. I feel that this church, this home church, is a blessing for me. I also feel that the videos that you placed recently are way blessing because you actually get to see a person. You know, we don't see everybody. We don't have that true interaction with one another. I think that we should have that as a home church. we all live in so many different places, so many different areas. It would be just so cool to see everybody. That would make the ultimate home church. But as far as a blessing to our church or a God cursing on our church, I think we're very blessed because we have the truth here. And as far as I'm concerned, God has blessed us with the truth, with compassion, with love, with friendship. And as far as I'm concerned, if that's not a blessed home church, then I'm in the wrong place.
We are blessed indeed. And that's very true. Another comment, it says, I don't worry about the number of people here. I'm used to not seeing too many people. And, you know, God doesn't focus on the numbers either. He focuses on the heart. And so if we lack numbers in this home church, but those that do show up are converted of heart, then our home church is mightily blessed. So amen. Where two or three are gathered together, and praise God that there's a lot more than two or three here. And it is indeed a pleasure to be with you all. But it would be wonderful to see all of those that regularly come to our home church to come to the meetings as well. And I know each one's a little different. Each one has a little different situation. There's a lot of families, and they take time for family worship and all. And we get to see them on the day of the Sabbath. And that's wonderful. But it would just be nice to see more. There's always that eagerness to have more individuals come and share and not just receive a blessing, but to be a blessing as well.
Amen. And just one more note for this topic is that each and every one that is here, you know, we have the opportunity, what a blessing it is that God has given us, to share about this room. Not everybody knows that they have this room available for everybody to be with. You know, that's why when Elder Rob put the video up, you know, we should start sharing it. Or go up on a social media, or pass out a card, or do something that has this home church on it, not because of Brother Rob, not because of you and I, but because the blessings that are available here. And just like anybody else with the truth, you can't get the truth if you don't know it. So they can't come here and share if they don't know it. And the ones that do know to come here and are not here, well, once again, that's their choice. And as far as I'm concerned, that's their loss. But if we want more people, we want more numbers, if we want our group to grow, we have to do our part and spread the word, not only about God's word, which is first and foremost, but about our little home church. So this way our numbers will grow. Amen.
Sorry about that, Bob. I was just going to say, yeah, it's such a timely thing to bring out in this study about Achan because of what it speaks of today, why we don't, if we're having success or not. It's so important to revise your day and to look at why things have happened the way they've happened. And I was just thinking about Achan. I wonder, you know, if I was Achan, if I was in his shoes, you know, he could still be saved before he's stoned to death, couldn't he? He wouldn't have much time left, but isn't God so good, you know? You're faced with, you know, you give glory to God or hide it, and Achan hid it until he was, well, I shouldn't reveal the story, but most of you probably know it. And, yeah, I wonder what he did, if he actually chose that. But it's so good to know that God's like that, that if you truly repent, like the thief on the cross, you'll be received, though you don't have much time.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, as we get to the next paragraph, you'll see that God was giving every opportunity for Achan to voluntarily confess his guilt, to repent. God didn't want to see Achan destroyed. Achan stole something that was God's. So covetousness was involved. And then he tried to make it appear he hadn't stolen anything. So now he's dissembling. He's making other people realize or think that he's innocent. And so God then instructed Joshua on exactly how to go about discovering out in the open now, before the entire camp, who's the guilty person. So Achan had plenty of time to search his heart, and he knew what he had done was wrong. 36 men, innocent men, lost their lives because of Achan's sin. That's corporate responsibility. Other people suffer from your wrong decisions. And in this particular instance, it's not just a family that suffers. It's an entire church group that suffers. But it's interesting here. These were members of the nation of Israel, of the church of Israel, not just strangers.
Early in the morning, Joshua gathered the people together by their tribes, and the solemn and impressive ceremony began. Step by step, the investigation went on. Closer and still closer came the fearful test. First the tribe, then the family, then the household, then the man was taken, and Achan, the son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah, was pointed out by the finger of God as the troubler of Israel.
Amen. Comment in the room. Imagine the suspense. So early in the morning, the entire group of Israel came together and the investigation began. First, the heads of the 12 tribes drew lots. The lot was of the tribe of Judah. Whether, you know, I'm not quite sure how they did lots, whether they drew it out of the hand and one was a short or a long one, I'm not quite sure. But the lot fell on the tribe of Judah. Achan was from the tribe of Judah. Can you imagine what was going through his mind? Well, how can this possibly point me out as, you know, the one that's stolen from Jericho? How could this possibly do? It's just lots. It's all by chance. But when the tribe of Judah was chosen, can you imagine what every member of that tribe was thinking? Is it me? Then all the families that were from the tribe of Judah came together and drew lots. Or a lot was thrown and it happened to land on the particular household of Carmi. However it was done, I'm not sure, but the lot fell on the family of Carmi. Now imagine what Achan is thinking. Wow. What are the odds? But each time the lot came closer to fingering Achan as the guilty one was opportunity for him to come forward and voluntarily admit he was the one. But every time he just passed it off and remained silent was lessening his probation. Because once he himself was pointed out, it was too late to repent. Quite interesting. Then the household was taken. This is the last chance for Achan to come forward. However big, however many children was part of Carmi, and Achan was one of them, this is the last chance for Achan to confess voluntarily now. But can you imagine what the household of Carmi was going through when the lot fell on them? And then finally, each family member of Carmi came forward, not just men. Each family member came forward and the lot fell on Achan. And when it fell on Achan, his probation closed. God doesn't accept forced confession. He only accepts voluntary confession. If you have to force someone to confess, it doesn't indicate a change in heart. You've heard of the saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So an individual forced to confess their sins are still connected in heart with those sins. They don't recognize any problem with those sins. If they did, they would have voluntarily confessed them. It's the same with offerings. The donations given to God are to be of a free will nature, voluntary donations. Now, you can let individuals know there's a need. God has the tithes and also offerings that he requests his people to bring, but it's voluntary that they do so. That's why church membership, that's why church attendance, brother and sistership, that's all voluntary. And it's not to be connected in any way with force regarding free will offerings, including the tithe. Now, it's okay to inquire if individuals are paying tithe and offerings, because the blessing or curse of God will come to them in that regard. But we can't force individuals to donate. It's a free will offering. It's the same here with sin. You can point out the sin in an individual, but you can't force them to confess that sin, to repent of it. It has to come from a realization that they have done wrong. And then they themselves have to choose to repent. If you try to force them to repent, it's only going to breed animosity. A comment in the room, it says, forced anything shows that there is no love or respect. Another comment, it says, the actions of Achan parallel the way the devil thinks and acts. Satan will not confess. He has to be done away with, the scapegoat led out into the desert. Amen. So here's Achan holding on to his sin, unwilling to confess and forsake it. In other words, he's clinging to his sin, unwilling to let it go. All the way to the end. And probation has closed upon him, and he's been pointed out as the troubler of Israel. Now, he committed a sin and hid it from everybody, but that sin troubled the rest of the camp. So if we cling to our sins, we're troubling others. Quite a solemn thing to think about. Achan perhaps thought that his sin was all just to himself, that no one else was involved in it. Who was going to be hurt by the things he took? But here we see that that belief, that idea, is very wrong. 36 people lost their lives. How much consternation went through the entire camp? Because each individual thought they may be the one that was troubling Israel, that they may be the one that was responsible for the 36 people losing their lives. And then when the tribe of Judah was taken, the rest of the Israelites could relax, but now the whole tribe of Judah is even more concerned and anxious. And then when the family of Carmi was chosen, the rest of the tribe of Judah could relax, but now the family of Carmi is even more concerned. And this also shows us that we cannot hide our sins from the notice of God. And in the end, everyone will know what sins we're guilty of. But what a merciful, loving Savior that is willing to put away our sins, our secret sins that no one knows about, if we will just confess and forsake them to Him. They'll all be forgiven. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's actually infinity. The sins will never be discovered if the blood of Christ covers them and we forsake them. Merciful.
Amen. Merciful. You know, this story of Achan, it brings out just, you know, I've come across Christians, and I'm sure every one of us has in one way or another, that say, just can't understand the concept that if you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all. No, you've just broken one. But it just goes to show, in Achan's case, just how far he was willing, before that one sin, to break other commandments to keep that one sin.
Amen. That's very true and an excellent point. Achan stole, and in doing so, he broke all 10 commandments, not just that one. So very true. But this idea of corporate responsibility brings up another point. When we put away our sins, we do so out of love to God because we want to please Him. But in putting away our sins with the issue of corporate responsibility in mind, we're also loving one another and desiring to please them. So in keeping God's commandments, we're not just pleasing God, the first four commandments, we're also pleasing one another, the last six commandments. If we cling to our sins, we're troubling our fellow brothers and sisters. So then if we put our sins away, we are making our brothers and sisters happy. We're revealing to them our love. We love them more than we love our sins. So that particular aspect of corporate responsibility is not recognized as it should be. And there's a tremendous blessing from corporate responsibility as well. By Christ's singular death, He freed all of mankind from the lake of fire if they will connect themselves with Him. He tasted death for all, that all through Him might be saved. That's corporate responsibility, isn't it? Christ remained sinless His entire life, that those who choose Him as their Savior may be covered with His sinless, spotless robe of righteousness. That's corporate responsibility. We become a sharer in His righteousness. In Him is life. Amen. Eternal life. In Christ is life. Eternal. If we're connected with Christ, we are sharers in that eternal life. So there's not only a negative aspect to corporate responsibility, one sin makes the whole group responsible, there's also a positive aspect to corporate responsibility. Connected with Christ, one individual, we partake of all the benefits of Christ. Amen. Excellent comment. It says, we had no choice until Jesus paid for our sins, and He was slain from the foundation of the world. So even Adam and Eve, and everyone from them, had that freedom of choice. And praise. So now Achan has been pointed out in front of the entire 2 to 6 million Israelite church, group, nation. But he still hasn't admitted it. There's still doubt that he's really guilty. And who'd like to read the next?
It's interesting to me that his testimony was used to condemn him. Well, to establish his guilt beyond all question, leaving no ground for the charge that he had been unjustly condemned, Joshua solemnly adjured Achan to acknowledge the wretched man made full confession of his crime. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. Wonder how he got all that back to his tent. That was a lot of weight. Messengers were immediately dispatched to the tent, where they removed the earth at the place specified, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them to Joshua, and laid them out before the Lord.
So when it was too late to benefit him, Achan repented. Well, actually, he didn't repent. He confessed. There's a difference. To repent means to put it away. You don't want to do it anymore. To confess is to admit that you did it. All Achan did was confess. He didn't repent. But it was already too late. His probation had closed. God gave him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, each time putting a little bit more intensity upon Achan to make sure that he recognized the importance of not just confession, but repentance. And he stubbornly refused to repent until it was too late. This reminds me of the wicked that come up in the second resurrection. Just before they're destroyed in the lake of fire, each wicked will confess that God is just and that they are guilty and deserve the punishment. So they confess they're guilty, but they don't repent. It's too late. So just like with Achan, he confessed, but he didn't repent. So this shows us that if he could have gotten away with it, that gold and silver and the Babylonian garment would still be under his tent without anybody knowing where it was. It was only because he was fingered that he was led to confess. I pray that none of us, because of stubbornness, will refuse to confess and repent of our sins until it's too late, but that we will search our hearts, comparing our lives with God's word, and every area that is contrary, may we humbly confess, repent, and forsake that wrong, so that we will not be troublers of our family members or church group, but instead may be peacemakers and thus the children of God. And this is my prayer. But we'll find out more as we continue here regarding corporate responsibility. It's not over yet. There's still other areas for us to learn. But that'll be next time. Are there any thoughts, any comments? Amen. God is speaking to each one of us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Waiting for Sister Susan's testimony, but the story of Achan reminds me, it's like a parable of what will happen at the end of the earth when Christ comes again. People will not make it because they waited too long to admit and to change their ways.
Very true, very true. And that's one reason why all of these events that took place, you know, thousands of years ago are put into the Bible. They're object lessons. We can learn from them. And we're supposed to learn from them. That's why God allowed this history to be put in the Bible. So that we can take note of what occurred and thus learn from the mistakes of others, not to commit those same mistakes. And especially as we come ever closer to the end, we need the Spirit's help to recognize all the spiritual insights and lessons of instruction that we can gain from reading the Bible. And there's always something more you can learn, including from passages you already read and thought you had learned it all. There's more there that you missed. And it's a joy to learn something new. That's why the Bible, no matter how many times you read it, is always an interesting book because there's something more to learn from it. Amen. It's like a new book. So don't think that you've learned everything from a particular passage in the scriptures, because the Spirit can open your mind and you can learn new things from what you've already read.
Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to heal thee I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. For I will correct thee in measure, will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, saith the Lord.
I like to sing the hymn, Day is Dying in the West. Day is dying in the west. Heaven is touching earth with rest. Wait and worship while the night sets her evening lamps alight through all the sky. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of thee. Heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High. Lord of life beneath the dome of the universe, thy home. Gather us who seek thy face to the fold of thy embrace, for thou art nigh. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of thee. Heaven and earth are praising thee, O Most High. While the deepening shadows fall, heart of love unfold us all. Through the glory and the grace of the stars that veil thy face, our hearts ascend. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thee, heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High. When forever from our sight, past the stars, the day, the night, the Lord of angels on our eyes, let eternal morning rise and shadows end. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thee, heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High.
I have a song that I'll try to do here for you. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted him. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted him. No one shared in the promise he brought as a babe that night. Nobody, nobody, nobody cared. Nobody lauded him. Nobody sang. No crowds applauded him, no bells rang. When he went to the desert to fast and pray, nobody, nobody, nobody cared. But oh, how the thousands came when the bread was multiplied. And oh, how the hosannas rang at the king's triumphant ride. And as long as the miracles flowed like wine, they called him wonderful. They came to dine. But nobody wanted him. No one remained. They only taunted him when his cross was stained with the blood freely given for a world in shame. Nobody, nobody, nobody cared.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. I'm outside in the middle of the woods over here because it's quiet. My fur babies are not behaving tonight. There must be something that's got them excited out here in the woods that's loose. So I am mosquito bait tonight. But praise the Lord, that's fine. I had a very interesting week. And I have to thank God for everything as always, to bringing me through a new week. I had time to put out some tracks, which was really awesome. But you know, I'm the only Sabbath keeper in my family, and everybody just thinks I'm a nut, and that's okay. They think that I've been crazy for years, and as I got older, pushing 60, they said, she's just an old lady that's crazy, and they just kind of tolerate me, which is fine. But on the same hand, I look at it this way. It is what it is. I made my choice, and my choice is I choose God among every and anything. But my point is that I don't deal with earthly things like birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. But my children do, and my children are, you know, in their 40s. So in the meantime, for the first time in, I don't know how many years, I can count on all toes, my daughter actually sent me a Mother's Day card, which to me doesn't mean, Mother's Day doesn't mean anything, you know, but it was the principle behind it. So I said, okay. I said, this is interesting. So I gave her a call, which I do once in a blue moon. But in the meantime, I got to speak to her. But once again, she's very, very sarcastic when it comes to God with me. I was talking about the hurricane season coming up here in Florida. And I told her, I said, you know, you'll lose your power every week and so. And look what happened last year. I said, you know, we really need to start to prepare. And she told me, she said, well, I have 100% faith in God, just like you should have. I said, well, I said, I have 100% faith in God. But just like the squirrels, God gives you the tree and he gives you the acorn, but he doesn't pack it away for you for the winter. You know, so if God gives you the opportunity and makes a means in a way, whether it's financial gift from somebody or you have the financial means to do it and God's provided it, well, if comes hurricane time and you don't have any oatmeal to eat, well, you don't blame God. You know, God made a means and a way for you, and if you disregarded his gift because you feel that it wasn't necessary, I said, you know, I said, that's like telling God thanks but no thanks. And I said, and on top of it, I said, you know, it's not for me to judge, but you have 1,000% faith in God, but yet you smoke, you hang out with your friends, you don't go to church, you're not even a Sunday keeper, which is even worse than anything. And I said, you know, I've been giving you information for years. I said, no, I don't have a halo over my head, and if I did, it'd be cracked. But on the same hand, the bottom line here is I've been giving you the truth that God's been giving me. My prayer all the time is that God opens my children's heart as he's opened my heart and my eyes and removed the veil of deception. And that's my prayer for them. You know, I'm not being judgmental. But in the meantime, she has her own way of looking at things. But so I kind of ended the conversation with a thank you so much and God bless and thank you for the card and, you know, and I ended it right there. You know, I mean, what else can you do? There's only so much that you can do. And no, I don't give up. I'm the most determined little bugger that there is out here. But on the same hand, I also have to look at it this way. You know, there's only so many times that I can give them tracks. There's only so many times that I can speak to them where they only tolerate me. So you can feel the tension on a conversation. And I'll give you an example. My youngest granddaughter, 16, she was here, I don't know, a year or so ago. And she said to me, she said, I have a, you know, I really don't want to get into any kind of conversations with you because you always bring up God. Well, when she was little, I went out and found a King James Bible for her, the children's Bible, that made sure that it talked about the Sabbath. But my daughter-in-law gave her SpongeBob books. So my Bible went into Neverlands. You know, when I didn't know any better and I grew up in a Catholic church, you know, I watched David and Goliath when I was a kid, a little cartoon characters on your Sunday channels.
I gave her every little study book that I had on those because that's all I knew at that time. But on the same hand, you know, once again, it was overridden. But it's okay because I look at it this way. God knows, like we say all the time, God knows everybody's heart. I don't know their heart. You know, I know what they say. I know their actions, but, you know, they've totally disregarded and cast me into the Neverlands, which is okay. And I exist as far as entitled, but that's about only. But I praise God for the opportunity to even speak to her today on the topic of the Sabbath, on the topic of, you know, making provisions when God makes a way. A lot of you know that I have a very strange lifestyle, but between the love of whoever and the love of God touching that person's heart, you know, I always see God in my life. Whether I didn't have money to pay for food because it was wiped out because of the hurricane, you know, a gift came my way, and it didn't come my way from China. It came from God. No matter who he utilized as the human being to help and touch their hearts, you know, it was coming from God. So I tell her and I told her, I said, you know, this is what happens. You know, this is why I don't worry about what people think, that I might be an erratic nut or whatever the case is, because I know that God provides. I know that God hears my prayers and knows may not always give me everything I want, but he gives me everything I need and more. So praise God for that. And right now I'm getting eaten up by mosquitoes. So we have things in Florida. They're called mayflies. They're yellow flies, and they bite worse than bees. And they come out every May, and believe it, they're not friendly suckers. They're not. Another thing, too, is I want to praise the Lord. My scrap garden that I've kind of thrown together since all the storms and the hurricanes and whatever we had over here is so abundant. I was speaking to Sister Lynn today, poor dear. Keep her in prayer. She doesn't feel well. I think it's flu season. But on the same hand, God has made my garden bloom. He gave me green thumbs, green toes, and I've got tomatoes and bell peppers and all things that I thought were totally gone. And you can't believe how many there are. Tons and tons of them. And I'm just so grateful because like I said, even in prayer the other night, I said, God, thank you so much for all these things. As soon as they are available for harvesting, I'm going to start dehydrating, canning, putting them up. Does that mean I have a lack in faith that God won't provide? No, because he did. So that's my testimony. Hugs and love to all, and God bless. Oh, and by the way, Brother Rob, your videos are awesome. I think that maybe a little light blue background might be nice because they're kind of a little, they remind me of a video maybe from the 50s, you know, awesome teaching. I love it. And I'm so happy that I got to actually see the person behind the words. And I also would like to know if I have permission to share your videos on the social media sites.
Praise the Lord. God bless you too, dear sister. And yes, indeed, you have my permission to share. The faster the truth gets out, the faster we go home. So indeed, all avenues of spreading the truth are to be utilized.
Sister Susan, while you were talking, I just felt impressed. There's a song, The Love of God, kind of addresses what you were talking about. It goes like this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. the guilty pair bowed down with fear. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from the sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song.
Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the weak, the brightest, of all the weak, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Throughout eternity, it's not going to change. Blessed.
Amen. And imagine how much more blessed it's going to be to keep it on the new earth. What a wonderful time that will be. If we're faithful to the end, we'll be able to experience it. And I imagine that each new Sabbath will be better than the previous. And that will go on for eternity. What a wonderful thing to think about. Dear ones, are there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs, comments?
Just wanted to share with you. Last week we had two dear souls that were visiting us. They actually observed the Sabbath. Sister Gabriel, quite biblical, and her husband, not so biblical name, Case, Brother Case. And they decided at the last minute they had two other friends to come with them. And we thought, well, actually, Sister Lucy was pretty concerned, actually. She thought we wouldn't have enough food. But I said, I'm sure we do. And so they came over for lunch, and we got talking. We got to meet four of them and got to know Sister Gabriel and Brother Case a bit better and their beliefs. They're quite Calvinistic in their understanding of the gospel as it is today, and their friends were, yeah, exclusive brethren for all their life until they left when they were married, both Elizabeth and John, and left his exclusive brethren and had some very interesting conversations. I won't share the errors that they believe, you know, plainly, but it taught me something that Sabbath that I've had reminded, and I'm sure it happens to you regularly. Just quote the scriptures. As much as you can, like, defend with your own words, just quote the scriptures. I noticed he wasn't doing that much of that. And there were some of the things that, I think is a light to him. And I think John is open, quite open, though he comes across very antagonistic. And he makes a joke now and again. So that was a real uplift last Sabbath. I think we had like 3-4 hours spiritual entertainment, so to speak. That was a real encouragement to us, and continuing to hold him up in prayer, because he's not your everyday Christian. He does believe in home churching. He just doesn't worship on any day. He does have Bible fellowship. And I said, wow, that's great. I mean, because I know Sister Gabe and Brother Case don't have that, and I mentioned that we have that in person, Sister Lucy and I, and online, but to have it in person, literally, that's fantastic with a number of people, especially with what you believe, but I didn't say that. So I just keep him in prayer.
Amen, and praise the Lord, you got the chance to witness, and I'm glad to hear that some Australians are very eager to want to learn the truth and are not standoffish, if you will. And praise God that he has his followers scattered all over the world. And just at the right time, they'll come into connection with the truth and be some of the most avid spreaders of that message. So we'll indeed keep Case and Gabriel and John and Elizabeth in our prayers. In fact, let's go ahead and bow our heads now and have closing prayer. Precious Father, we thank you for being here with us tonight. Thank you for the words that we read, and help us to understand the importance of them, gaining greater spiritual insight into the instruction that you would have us gain. Help us to examine ourselves and to recognize what sins we're guilty of. And Spirit, please aid us in this, convict us of this. And please also work upon our hearts to confess and repent of these sins and to put them away, that we will not be troublers of our family members or friends or even church family, but may instead be peacemakers, children of God, because we're manifesting our love for God and love for mankind as well. Pray that you'll be with all of those that have requested prayers. We praise your name for hearing the prayers for Anna and for healing her. And please let her recognize your hand in her case and be so extremely grateful and appreciative, desiring to follow you more closely than before. Pray that you'll be with Indara and help them and the group that they're a part of to remain faithful and to grow in grace and in knowledge. Please also be with Sister Lucy's daughter and continue to work in her life, bringing her back to health and also opening her heart to want to learn more of Jesus, her great physician. Also continue to keep the door open for the family relationship to improve with our dear Sister Lucy, and she may be able to reconnect with her beloved family. Please also be with Brother Case and Sister Gabriel, as well as Brother John and Sister Elizabeth, and help them to remember the truths that Brother James was able to share with them and become curious and want to know more and to learn more and not close their heart to the Bible truth. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for all of thy many and wonderful blessings, and help us to appreciate these blessings more and not just take them for granted. And thank you for coming soon to take us off of this wicked world, and what a joy it will be to keep the Sabbath forevermore. Thank you for hearing and answering these prayers, and for being with us as we part. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Brother Rob, I would like to also see if we can keep Sister Lynn in prayer. She's not feeling quite up to par, and poor dear is a little under the weather, and I know that our prayers are encouragement to her, because I'm quite sure she's listening somewhere. So I would like to keep her in prayer as well. Thank you so much, everybody. God bless and night-night.
Well, thank you, dear sister, for letting us know. And let us please bow our heads. And, dear Father, we also ask that you'll be with our dear sister Lynn and help her to feel better. Let her know that she is missed, and continue to work in her life and in the life of her precious mother. And thank you so very much for doing so. And be with all the rest of those that have requested prayers, both spoken and unspoken, and especially for those requesting healing in whatever manner it may be, according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow. And until then, keep looking up. And thank you for being my brothers and sisters in the faith. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 10. Good night.
I was just going to remark to Sister Susan, pray that God be with her. And her concerns about her children, make her heart light with trust and faith. Amen.